ain't making sense. They tell us go to college, but ain't tell us about this damn debt. Interest is a motherfucker, know they coming for your assets. Steady hitting backflips, ran around the Atlas. Pray we make it back in. Gave my brother 2 P's and told him hit me on the back end. Wishing I could text my nigga Tay and tell him tap in. Wishing I could call my cousin Sire and say we gon' win. You know I'm finna go in. Black on black violence, seen so many come and go. It's like I'm numb to the wrong shit. You better buy this property, ain't no way you ain't gon' get rich. Philosophy like Socrates, ain't no way you ain't gon' feel this. I'm giving niggas game, TNT, but you don't hear me.
All right, thank you guys for tuning back in. We are in episode 13 of the Let Me Speak podcast. So I just want to say thank you guys so much again, you know, for tuning back in. Who do I have with me today?
Saeed, you know, live from Paradise, CEO. My dog, I'll let him introduce himself.
I go by Justin Time, CEO, SSOLA, producer, artist, you know.
All right. Where you guys from?
Richmond, California. South Richmond, California, Bay Area.
From the Bay, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm from the hometown, L.A., Compton, to be exact.
Okay. What you doing all the way out here from the Bay?
Man, my pop's from out here. He from Watts.
Okay.
That's how I know Debbie and shit. Like, you feel me?
So, okay. Yeah, Debbie was in here last time.
Yeah. That's my dog. Just got a lot of family down here, so.
That's what's up.
Left was in college in the HBCU in Ohio.
Okay.
Didn't want to go back to the Bay after I left there, so I came back to L.A., came out here.
That's what's up. How'd y'all link up?
It's crazy. I had been hearing about him from one of my bros for a while that he went to school with.
Okay.
Out in Ohio. And just randomly one day I was on the phone with him, and he was like, I got Saeed right here. And I'm like, well, for real? And he was like, yeah. He was like, put him on the phone and exchange info. And yeah, ever since then, been rocking.
Cool. All right, Saeed, you got anything you want to tell listeners you got coming out, or what's up? What's going on with you?
What ain't going on right now, man? 2019 was crazy for us. We lost a lot of music. Like, throughout the whole year, we lost, 100?
Over 100 songs.
A lot of projects and stuff. So we went into, like, overload, you know, like, just working. So right now we got, like, six and a half, almost seven projects coming out this year.
Okay.
All for Sia 3. That's coming out January 29th. That's in memory of my little cousin Sia. We got PTO, Consistency EP.
A lot of music.
Man, we got a lot of music. We got too much.
I can't wait to hear it.
Before
we jump into it, though, what was the name of that song we just heard? Tell us about that.
Black on Black. That's when my cousin John Doe, John Royce from Atlanta, and produced by my dog, Trey Parker. You feel me? Also a live producer. We did that like a couple years ago, a year and a half ago. Shot the video about a year ago.
What made you want to do that song?
Just, man.
The message. I love it.
Just what's been going on. You know, the shit we seeing every day in the streets. You know, people being gunned down, police brutality, just black-on-black violence, genocide. Like, so it just inspired me, you know, stuff that I've seen and, you know, things that I've been through and people around me that I've been through.
Yeah, I love it. Cool. So let's just get into it. As some of you may have heard, and we were just talking about it, the whole Orlando Brown thing. If you guys listen, if you have not heard about it, Orlando Brown, he went on Instagram to say that he allowed Nick Cannon to give him oral sex. So Orlando Brown, in my opinion, he's been needing help.
Yeah.
He's been really needing some help, and aside from him, Delonte West as well.
Right.
I know you guys saw that video with him. Yeah. For those who listen, you don't know who Delonte West is. He used to be in the NBA. Recently, there's a video that went viral of him in the streets.
Looking bad.
Horrible.
But yeah, mental illness. Yeah.
So that's what I was getting at. Mental illness. I feel like within a black community, we kind of sweep that under the rug. We don't take that serious. As serious as we should. Like I said, we sweep it under the rug. I know growing up, my family from the South, nobody really talks about that. It's just, you know, pray about it, or, you know, that's it.
Right.
But yeah, although we do need to pray about it, but I do feel like we need to take more action.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I just want to know, what do you guys think about that? how you feel about, you know, mental illness within our community and Orlando Brown and Delonte West. And
I'm gonna start with Orlando Brown. You know, I feel like it's a lot of mental illness that plays a part with him. Like, if everybody noticed, like, this is not his first incident, mm-hmm. or, you know, first type of, you know, thing he's done for publicity, for clout, as we call it now. Delonte West, man, it just, you can see that he's troubled. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's had a lot going on. His past is, like, catching up to him. And, I mean, like, you know, a lot of people have, we got choices as, mm-hmm. as people, you know, as adults, as human beings, we have choices that we make. And, you know, I mean, he made some unfortunate choices, and sometimes you make choices and you can't stumble back from them. Or sometimes, like, the limelight, or sometimes, like, the just being on that platform and having that voice, or mm-hmm. just being who that person, you know, it's like, it's hard to be that person. Like, some people can't handle it.
Yeah.
And, like, mental health in our community is just, it's like, it's been very prevalent, you know, since, like, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Like, mm-hmm. you say, a lot of our families, our parents and grandparents tell us, like, oh, you know, you go on here, rub some dirt on it. You're going to be good.
Yeah,
like, you
exactly.
know, ain't nothing wrong with you. Like, you know, definitely. You know, depression is real.
Yes.
You know, anxiety is real.
And I feel like, especially for the black man,
yeah.
that they don't get to express that at all. You know, me personally, as a woman, it's easier for me to be expressive about stuff like that, but you know, you guys being black men, like, how do you feel like that affects the men within our black community?
I think that's something that's constantly we constantly overlook, just based on the fact that in our communities, black men are the head of the household. Mm-hmm. They're the strength, they're the power.
Can't show any
weakness.
Right.
Can't really show weakness.
Yeah.
Like, we've been taught that through everything, through sports, through mm-hmm. life, just everything. Mm-hmm. Be strong. You got to show resilience. You got to show yeah. all this. And being vulnerable is just a sign of weakness. Mm-hmm. That's what we've always been taught.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we have that opportunity to actually be vulnerable and come out and do that, it's hard for us to do it because we don't know how it's going to be received.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then we don't want to feel embarrassed or feel, you know, feel like we don't want to feel weak.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So I think that's where it all comes from. Just the feeling of weakness and mm-hmm. being taught to be strong. And just
in our society, man, just in our culture, we very judgmental.
Yes.
Very, like, as African Americans, like, we, you know, and it stems from, it don't matter in the household, in the church, in the streets, like, people judge you, you know, mm-hmm. just by your appearance, just by, you know, whatever you like, you know, whatever fancies you. And I think so a lot of us is like afraid to be they self, mm-hmm. to be them, you know. It's like, I have to live up to this standard, you
yeah.
know. Like you say, I gotta be tough. Like, I'm growing up in these circumstances, in this like rough environment, so for me to be, you know, maybe not tough, you know, or just not aggressive,
yeah.
like, people is gonna take advantage of me, or, you know, people gonna look at me as soft, you
yeah.
know. And so, like, I think, you know, it's just, we got to get to the point where it's like, we telling people it's okay to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to come. If you really got something on your mind that you need to talk about, it's okay to go to therapy. You know, like a lot of people look at therapy as bad,
yes.
you know, like, oh, I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or I ain't crazy. I don't need that. Like, woo, woo. And it's like, man, listen, bro. Like,
that's what we need.
We need it. Therapists have therapists,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people don't even know that, you know. So it's just like, look at that, and look at these things that's like, these different things that's going on in your household, and say, man, look, do we need to talk about it? Do we need to go to therapy as a family unit, as an individual, whatever?
And I think that's why we tend to destroy ourselves within mm-hmm. our community, because we don't take that stuff seriously, you know?
Right.
We don't sit down and have the talks that we need within our family and within ourselves, and just, you know, getting the help that we need, the mental health that we need. You know, not everybody, not everybody needs mental health, but it
right.
is clearly it's a problem.
Right.
And we need to stop ignoring it.
Yeah.
Right.
I also want to talk, we were talking a little earlier, I just want to talk about R. Kelly, because I do feel like, do you guys feel like he's suffering from mental health?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I just, like, it's, and it stems back to, if you know his past and what mm-hmm. happened to R. Kelly, he suffered from child molestation mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So a lot of people that are predators or child molesters and stuff like that,
they've experienced
mm-hmm. it, so they normalize it in mm-hmm. their brain, because it's like, this happened to me for so many years.
Then you know, it's okay.
And it's like, okay, now that this happened to me, it's okay for me to do it to somebody else. I don't look at it as a bad thing, because maybe this is something that I, you know, that mm-hmm. has happened in my family. Like, I know people in my family that have been, you know, molested by mm-hmm. other family members and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's just like, that's within itself is something to struggle with. Mm-hmm. Like, he's definitely had mental illness. Like, if you can look back to, you know, all his whole life, he's always had some controversy or something going on in the media where it's like, you know, and if you listen to a lot of his songs.
Yeah.
Like,
I said all the time, he's telling y'all.
He's telling
you
everything.
In these songs, he's telling us, yeah. And I do feel like, I do agree with you that he is suffering mental health. And I feel like, I think it was Erykah Badu who had posted something about how she was still, like, you know, she cared about him and that he's suffering. And I feel like some people kind of jumped on her because I feel like people within our Black community, they did get upset with her because they feel like, you know, oh, what he did was wrong. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, they don't pay attention to the fact that he is mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we're just so, like you said, we're so judgmental and we're so ready to just jump on somebody's neck and just, this, yes, it was wrong.
Right.
I'm not negating the fact that it was wrong. Right. It was definitely wrong. But like we said, he's mentally ill.
Right.
So, I just feel like, yeah, he needs some help. I feel like, you know, Delonte West, he needs some help. Yeah. Orlando Brown, they all need some help.
Yeah.
And we need to take mental health within our community a lot more serious.
Yep. I agree.
And it's a lot of programs, and just be an advocate. It's speaking up, you know. It's a lot of free programs out here just in L.A. Like, I work in the mental health field. It's so many mental health programs that you can, that's free, that you know, the county is giving, you know, that people that are on Medi-Cal or Medicare, you know, you can go receive these benefits, you know. So all you have to do is research, you know. If you just go down to your city hall, go downtown to the county building, and it just grab some pamphlets, some literature, you know. Just advocate for yourself. If you know somebody in need, advocate for them, you know, and point them in the right direction, even if you know. Don't turn the other cheek and, you know, leave this stone unturned. You feel me? Let them know, like, man, look, I know somebody over here that can help you.
Definitely.
So,
do you feel like with you being an artist, do you feel like within the hip-hop community, it's a lot of people suffering from that?
Definitely.
Mental illness within the hip-hop community?
Definitely. Just with a lot of artists, that's, if you could just see a lot of the suicides and, a lot of the overdoses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this stems from a lot of pain. Like, you know, that they're trying to subside it, you know, like, subside this pain, and, you know, they're using coping mechanisms.
Yes.
A lot of it's in the music, though. If you really listening to the words instead mm-hmm. of listening to to get the enjoyment.
Yeah.
If you listening to what a lot of these artists is talking about, it's a lot of pain in their music, besides what the music make you feel like.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really pay attention to Juice WRLD music,
yeah,
you can listen to what he was going through.
Right.
You pay attention to XXX, you know what I'm saying? It was a lot of pain in his music.
And I feel go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you good. Go ahead.
I feel like, you know, those, I'm going to just say, I feel like a lot of the white people, they don't look at us or these rappers as somebody who is sick.
Not at all.
Thugs, man, sagging thugs.
It's entertainment to them. That's what we've always been seen as.
Yes.
When it comes to the Caucasian race, you know what I mean? We've always been looked at entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we're doing is a form of entertainment. It could be basketball, it's comedy, it could be acting. If as long as it's entertainment, that's what
all
we
they
are.
Care about. Yeah.
That's what we are. You the court jester for us. That's what we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It stems back to, like, the Sambo back in that days with the minstrel shows and the black faces, you know, mm-hmm. where the whites would put on the black faces mm-hmm. and paint these big red lips, you know, to mock us and
it's
be
crazy.
Funny.
Yeah.
And it stems back to that, you know, and they look at us as thugs and hooligans, but it's like they put, like, a lot of these environments were placed upon us. Like, mm-hmm. we had no choice but to be this. This is what we saw, you know, and it's been generational, you know. It's like a generational curse. Like, we've been having our grandparents, our great-grandparents have been going through this, so they didn't know no better. So yeah. They wasn't able to teach our parents, you know. And now our parents aren't able to teach us. And then now us as parents aren't able to teach our kids. Mm-hmm. So it's just like...
It's a cycle.
It's a cycle, yeah, you know. So, yeah.
Definitely. Let's move on. I want to talk about, I hate talking about, we got to talk about Donald Trump. I always say, I always like to ask my guests this question. How do you guys feel, you know, you guys being black men, how do you guys feel with Donald Trump being still in office? As of now, well, because I don't think he's officially out yet.
No,
yeah,
not at all. Still calling shots.
Yeah.
Talking reckless.
Right.
How did you guys feel when he won? How did you feel?
To be honest, wasn't shocked.
Okay.
I wasn't shocked.
Go ahead.
I think I wasn't shocked because I seen the state that the country was going in,
mm-hmm.
with all the killings and everything.
Yes.
The uproar of this, all white lives matter. Mm-hmm. Black lives matter. All lives matter movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they took it wrong when we said all black lives matter.
Yeah.
You know, and that pissed me off when
they took it wrong. Like we was trying to.
We're not saying we're not saying that they you guys' lives don't matter, but what ours do.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. Yeah.
So when I seen that and then just the uproar, all the racist things that just was going on constantly, I was like, we going into a new civil rights, you know,
yep.
a new type of segregation that's mm-hmm. coming around right now. Like it's coming back full circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely is. Yeah. And for those, in my opinion, for those who say in 2020 that racism doesn't exist, I feel like those are crazy. They're crazy.
Racism is alive.
That shit that shit is very well alive.
Mm-hmm. Alive.
I don't understand how
on both sides though, not just white people.
Yeah. You know, oh, for sure.
Black people is.
Yeah.
I was,
let's talk about that.
Yeah. I was just a little example. I work at the airport, so this black lady, she was trying to get on the shuttle to get to all where the Ubers and Lyfts are. So I'm trying to help her out, and she saw this one white guy kind of just walk up in front of the line and try to hop on the bus, and she immediately goes, "Get him! He didn't wait in line." So I'm like, "Oh, we got it under control. Let him know he walked back." She proceeds to go, "I don't know why y'all just keep letting these white people just use their privilege." I'm like, "What you talking about? Like one guy, and we told him to go back, stand in line. He listened, he obeyed, did everything that he was supposed to." And she was just like, "Man, I don't like white people. I really don't like white people." And I'm like. See, that's not helping
us.
That's not helping us at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And a reason I wanted to speak about that because I've heard, you know, people say, black people, I've heard them say that black people can't be racist.
Yeah, I was going to, man, that's crazy you said that. And I don't know. What? I don't know. How do you feel about that? Do you feel black people can't be racist?
Go ahead.
I think it go both ways.
Right.
Yes, I agree. But what I was getting at is, what is your definition of racism? Let's start by that. What is your definition of racism?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can pull it up. What the Google's definition?
Google's definition
of racism is, because I mean, depending on what someone's definition of racism is, that kind of changes, but I do think
change the narrative.
Yeah, but I do think that I think that black people can be racist.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
I can say, you know, I ain't trying to throw my granny under the bus, you know, but she come from a different time period.
Yeah,
and so, you know, I can say that she'd be like, "Oh, them damn crackers."
Yep.
Or them damn Chinamen.
Yep.
And I'd be like, "Nana, like, you can't say that." Like, you know, like, she's like, "I can say whatever I want. I've been here 80 years. Woo, woo. You ain't seen what I seen." And it's like, I understand that. It's like, we come from two different time periods. But I have some friends that are, you know, that are white, you know, or Caucasian. I have some Asian friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't say that. Like,
exactly. Let's see. So, Google's definition of racism is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on belief that one's own race is superior. So with that being said, yes, I do feel like black people can't be racist. Going back to how you said, you know, your grandma speaks on other people. My mom's side of the family is from Georgia.
My grandma and my family from Georgia.
Yeah, what part? Crazy.
Augusta.
Okay. My mom went to school. She went to college in Augusta, but she's from Athens.
Okay.
But one of my family members, we were talking, and I'll never forget, he said, man, them Mexicans are so lazy. And I was hot. Mm. I was hot because I don't agree with that. And for two, yeah. Sorry about those signs, those sirens, y'all. I don't agree with that. For two, I have plenty Mexican friends. And for three, I feel like Mexicans are such hard workers. Not just like there are some lazy Mexicans, there's some lazy black people, but that doesn't mean that all of us are lazy, and that doesn't mean that, right. You know. And I feel like for him to just say, man, the Mexicans are so, I was just like,
I beg to differ.
It's, to me, it was an ignorant statement.
Right, right.
And yeah, I beg to differ.
I beg to differ because it's like I can see a lot of, man, sometimes, and it's sad to say that, you know, sometimes I might go do business with a Hispanic or, you know, a Mexican because, like, I ain't going to say that they've done me too much of wrong. You know, like, you know, as doing business or when it come to, like, getting shit done or actually completing a task. But it's like, I done been with my people. And my people done dropped the ball on me multiple times. You feel me? Done me wrong, you know, tried to take advantage of me. And it's like, damn. Yeah. And it's like, it's sad because, you know, we're supposed to support our people, support black businesses, stay together. But it's like my own people. And it goes back to the Willie Lynch, you know, stories and the Chronicles where Willie Lynch then showed all our African Americans like, hey, look. You know, this superior color, like if she's lighter than you or he's lighter than you, then he's superior. Oh, since you're lighter, you need to tell on them, you know, the house slave and the field slave. Mm-hmm. So it's like it have us fighting amongst each other in the communities, you know, that we live in, because it's like, oh, her hair is nappy. Oh, he got good hair. Oh, they mixed. You know, they half breed. And it's like the type of the word verbiage and like the stuff.
Light skin, dark skin.
Yeah.
It's like, and it just messes us up.
Yeah.
It messes us up completely, you know.
It's power in the tongue.
Yeah. For sure.
For real. But getting back to Trump, what do you guys feel about him with the killing of the Iranian, help me out. The
Iranian general?
Yes, the Iranian general.
Soleimani.
Mind fart.
Yeah. Cowardly.
Do you feel like he did that to help him stay in office longer because he knew he was getting impeached?
I think he did that just to be brash and just to be like a radical, just to say I can do what I want because I'm getting impeached. Now I'm just going to do what I want to do and there's nothing you can do about it because I still have these rights as a president or, you know, as the president, I can still call these shots. And I think that's what is like, it was cowardly. And that's what America been doing. Like, you know, it's not nothing new. Let's not forget, like, America been doing some cowardly attacks, you know, Iraq and, you know, all type of shit. And they, you know, blame all these different countries on some of the stuff that we've brought upon ourselves, you know, taking advantage of people, being bullies, sticking our nose in business that don't belong to us. So, yeah, man, it was a coward. It was just cowardly.
You guys think we're going to war?
I think so. I think we got to.
What about you?
It's looking like it.
We got a next Pearl Harbor on our hands or something. Like, where they going, you know, and they already done said, we're going to act accordingly.
Yeah, that's just scary,
man. We're going to do something, and we're going to make it known that we did it. We're not going to hide it like how y'all do it. We're going to say, this is what we're about to do, and we're going to do it. And then, now what? And you're putting all these millions of people's lives at stake in jeopardy.
Yep.
Like that's coward. That's and then you chilling wherever you at.
Yep.
You know.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little nervous that we might go to war. But what was I gonna ask? Do you guys think that do you guys think he's gonna get impeached? How do you guys feel about that? I think they met yesterday.
Today, or the second day.
You're right. So, yeah, what do you guys feel about that as far as him getting impeached?
I don't really, you know, I don't know. If he does, I don't think it's going to be too much better for us.
Why do you say that?
I just think that the next in command isn't too much better than him.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's
and
like,
I feel like people neglect to realize that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like he can get impeached, but we don't know what his next in command, how he gonna go about doing things. He might be worse.
Yep.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like we asking for Trump to get impeached, but he might be better than what we might end up with.
You know, the grass might not be green on the other side.
It might not be. So.
But at the same time, I feel like
I think we in a hole regardless.
Yeah, you know, right now, for it to be prolonged like this, for it to keep going like this, mm-hmm. and it's like they acted really fast with Bill Clinton. When they wanted mm-hmm. to get Bill Clinton out of office, it was like they kind of got on the ball, you know, and it's like right now, for him to be withholding evidence and, you know, the Republican Party withholding evidence, it shows something is they hiding something,
yeah.
you know, and if he's acquitted of all these charges and they let him resume office, then it's just, you know, saying that every other president from now on can do whatever they want to do, period.
Yeah.
That's what this is
saying.
That's the
scary
part.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, scary, that's for sure. What was I going to say? God damn it, I lost my train of thought. All right, we take a little break, and then hopefully we come back. I'll remember what I was going to say. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
Right. Get away from it. So selfish. Get away from it. Do it my way. Text. Get away from getting your way another day. You was running finesse, now it's minimum wage. If I wasn't smarter than you, would have been in a cage. From a domestic dispute, got me lost in the rage. Selfish ways for selfish people when I don't need them. I was giving and giving, you was taking the leeching. Wasn't clear on your premise, but saw it wasn't equal. And your feelings like Dennis's cavities, I'm sensing. Wouldn't speak on your problems, but claim I wouldn't listen.
Okay, welcome back. That song that you guys just heard, that was Selfish by my amazing artist here, Saeed. I really like that song. I was feeling it.
Thank you.
I'm not going front. I was at home playing it.
Thank you.
Not in my head. In my roommate, she was like, who is that? And I was like, that's my guest today. Like,
that's dope. That's
yeah,
dope.
I like that one a lot. That one was cool.
Right on. We did that. What was that? That was like a... Matter of fact, we dropped that last summer. That was like the summer anthem last year, 2019.
Summer?
That was 2019 summer.
I thought that was a little after the summer, but...
It was in the Turks and Caicos.
Okay.
July 7th. Y'all was in Turks and Caicos?
I went there for my birthday last year.
He went to Turks and Caicos. I ain't seen that place yet.
That shit was remarkable.
I'm trying to get there, too. Like that's what's up. Okay, so I remember what I was going to say. What I was going to ask you guys was, do you guys feel that Trump has done anything beneficial for us as black people? Now, when we were during our break, we were talking about, I had brought up that he had helped funding for schools, for the HBCUs. So yes, that was cool. He provided more than $250 million a year to the nation's historically black colleges and universities. That is amazing.
Kudos.
Right.
To you, Donald Trump. Thank you.
Yes. But so what?
Right.
That's
it. I mean, you like we were saying, I'm not going to reward you
for something that you should be doing.
You're supposed to have been doing that, bro.
Right.
Like, look how much oppression, look how much stuff we've been had to face with, so much adversity. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Thank you. You know, right. That's all I can say. Like, thanks.
Right. And the way I took it, Like, for anybody to be like, well, Trumpus did this. So what? Like, so I'm supposed to be like, okay, you can degrade me, so whatever the hell you want, do this and that, but because you gave the schools money, that's okay. No. The hell out of here.
I'm a HBCU grad, so I'm an advocate. I love my HBCU. But, yeah, man, like, no. I'm not going to jump for joy exactly. for something that you were supposed to do, man. We were supposed to have been had that. Where's right. our 40 acres and a mule, bro?
Right.
I'm looking for that. Reparations. Yeah. We need that.
Right. We needed that, like,
yeah.
hella years ago.
Right.
Yeah, so do you think he's done anything beneficial? Other than that, do you think he's done anything beneficial for us?
I ain't heard nothing.
I can't call it. I can't, man. And then it was
I just learned that myself.
We just learned that. It was like, okay, dope. But it was like, other than that, nah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not when I'm seeing my people gunned down like cattle. Right. In the street. Right.
It's hard to see the things that a president might be doing on a larger scale when in your own city you got your homeboys dying, people getting killed that you know
mm-hmm.
for 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your everyday. That's an everyday thing for you. So I think it's just difficult for our community to really focus and zone in on politics the way we want to because so much is going on in our own neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really clueless as to the ins and outs of politics the way we should know it basically because of what we're going through on a daily basis.
Yes.
So that's just how I feel. Like I try to keep up with it, but I got so much stuff going on in my own personal life, it's hard to even focus on it.
I agree with you, and I do feel like our community, especially the younger generation, they fail to keep up on stuff like that. And mm-hmm. the younger generation are the ones that we need to make sure right. that they know what's going on. Because how can we even help ourselves and change if we don't know what's going on? You know?
Right.
That goes back to, like, you know, voting.
Oh, yeah.
Facts.
Yeah, I was one of the people that, and, you know, I had a little post that I made when Trump won. I was like, man, all you dumbass motherfuckers that said my vote don't count.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what y'all just did.
Yep.
Like, your vote yeah. definitely counted.
Because all of his people for sure went out there and voted.
Yeah.
Man, you know, all and it's like, you know, the odds is against us. They rigged voting and all this stuff anyway. So it's
you
like,
think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We learned that with Jeb Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. Mm-hmm.
Bush
George,
and Gore.
Yeah, like, they rigged the votes. And so it's like, at least try. Like, at least go fight. Go out here and do something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just sit here, especially if you're not a convicted felon or something like that. Because it's like, convicted felons can't vote, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of people that can't vote. It was a time where we couldn't vote. We couldn't even read books.
Yeah.
So why not go out here and at least exercise your right?
Our ancestors fought for us to be able to do so.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with you. What do you guys think about Bernie Sanders? As far as him being for us or not for us, what are your thoughts on him?
I mean, like I was saying, he's an advocate of social programs, which is good. You know, he's always been like, and you know, he's pro civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
He's always, you know. And that's just with his track record. He speaks with some sense,
mm-hmm.
you know. You know, I think he's really out here, and he has those lifelong connections and established those connections, and has that like that kind of voice to where people would listen to him.
Yeah.
But he's 80 years old, so that's a pro. that's a con. You know, it's like Bernie. Uncle Bernie ain't gonna be around for too much longer yeah. with us. You feel me? Like, so it's like we can't count on Bernie to make, you know, these changes that we need for the necessary future. You know, like these necessary changes. I feel like, yeah, he's something that's in place for right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we need somebody that's like with longevity. We need the longevity in office. You know, we need somebody that can hopefully give us an 8-year term.
Yeah,
and not, you know, have Alzheimer's or, you know, suffer from, you know, like, he's getting old. So it's like, you never know what could happen to Uncle Bernie. Like,
yeah, definitely. I want to talk about Cardi B only because, like I said, you know, she's been very vocal within the politics and everything going on. And I do feel like I feel like more people within hip hop, they need to be more expressive and more vocal about this stuff, because music is such a, what's the word? It's people take the kids, let me say that the younger kids, they look to our artist, the artist, hip hop world. They look to that. They look up to them. Like, you know, so with that being said, I feel like more people in hip hop need to be more vocal. Right. Within this stuff like that, like her. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, what do you guys feel about the hip hop world? How they're, it's not as talked about, the, you know, stuff that's going on within politics or stuff that, important stuff that needs to be talked about. Like how do you feel about rappers not, you know, speaking on stuff like that? Or do you feel like they should, or that's in its own lane, like that shouldn't be intertwined with music, or you see what I'm getting at?
I think it ties into who's listening to it, who's purchasing it, you know, who's streaming it. Mm-hmm. If it's not getting plays, a lot of people stray away from it.
Yeah.
That's because, you know, everybody want to make that big dollar. Mm-hmm. So that's what people are chasing right now. I think it's coming back around where the consciousness is going to be where people at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the present moment, in the last, I guess you could say 10, 15 years, it's been about the fun aspect. Just, yeah, having fun with the music, the trap aspect, just having fun with the music. But I think the consciousness with the talking about the politics and everything that we need to be shedding light on is coming back.
That's
the
perfect phrase.
Kendrick's, J. Cole,
mm-hmm. Nip,
you know, yeah, Saeed,
definitely.
Nip for sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's people out here talking about it. It's just about those people getting that stage to be able to, for people to hear it and see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Platform. That was the word that I'm looking for.
Platform. Yeah. I think it's essential for those artists that have that platform. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, like my fan base is different from Cardi B's fan base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is different from Snoop Dogg's fan base. Mm-hmm. Which is different from, you know. Yeah. And the list goes on. So it's like, I feel like if you have this type of fan base, your fan base might not be as in tune to what's, you know, going on in politics, or, you
definitely
know, they might be in these streets every day, but, you know, they just see it, but it's like, okay, they don't feel comfortable talking about it because maybe you they idol, Cardi, mm-hmm, B. So now that you're my idol, Cardi B, and you talking about it, now that gives me the platform, that gives me the you know, that lane to say, oh, well, Cardi B talking about it, then it's cool to talk about
And that's why I respect her so much for using her platform, because clearly Cardi B has her listeners and, you know, her group of,
right,
her audience. Majority of people wouldn't, you know, tie that into people who stay up on politics all the time.
Right,
but,
right.
And that's why I respect her so much, because she uses that platform. And I, in my opinion, I feel like people try to tear her down because of how she speaks and where she's from, but she is educated. She's not stupid. She can't help how she was raised or where she was raised, and she can't, mm-hmm, help that she's ghetto. She can't help that she has this accent, but she is who she is. But like I said, she uses her platform for something positive, and right, I love that about her. And I do, me personally, I feel like more artists, even if they're not the typical conscious rapper, I still feel like more rappers, even the trap rappers, whoever, I feel like they need to use their platform, because music is just, it's
a tool.
Yes.
You know, like, music is a tool. And so, like, use this tool for the greater good. Like, you know, it's okay to rap about whatever you want to rap about. You want to be a trapper, you want to be whatever, you know. But, like, if you have this voice and you can go on the radio and we can talk about something else other than, you know, the destruction of my community,
mm-hmm,
then talk about it. Talk about it. If you know you're going to have 8 million viewers listening to this, talk about whatever's been deep down inside that you've been suppressing. You know, that you've been, like, you know, don't be afraid. And that's what I think a lot of artists is afraid, because it's like, and I think it's a lot of artists is puppets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these artists is puppets. And it's like the industry is making them do certain things yep. or have a certain personality. And it's like, if you start speaking about the wrong stuff, then we gonna snatch the cord from you, you know, because we don't want you to enlighten them.
Yep.
We want you to keep them over here blinded, you know, ignorant. With all this ignorant, all mm-hmm. this shit that's going on. And they focused on what you talking about. And they trying to go do what you trying to do, pop a million, you know, pills and yeah. all this shit. It's yep. like, because you rapping about it in your songs. And so these kids is like, I'm going to go pop a Molly. I'm going to go pop a ecstasy, Xanny, yep. Percocet. And they dying, you yep. know. And so it's like, that's good that she came and said, look, nah, this is what's going on in the communities. This is what we need to do. You know, this is what, you know, how I feel about it.
Yeah. She's trying to help bring some change.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit goes a long way. You know, that's the start that we need. So, I respect Cardi B.
Definitely.
Really quick, though. We got a few minutes. Martin Luther King Day was just on Monday. So, I want to just... Let's just pay him his respect and talk about Martin Luther King.
Shout out to the
brass. Yeah.
1906.
So, did you guys do anything on Martin Luther King Day?
I worked.
You did?
I worked. Got to the bag.
I didn't. I'm off right now. But Martin Luther King Day, it was like a gift and a curse type of day for me, because it's like, though we were celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday, like my little cousin mm. Josiah, it was his passing day, you know.
I'm sorry,
it's
to hear
been
that.
3 years.
Yeah.
And so that, like, this is gonna be our third year dropping off for Sire 3. And so, you know, I this year I was just kinda like down, and you know,
yeah.
Yeah, it was just a lot going on, Martin Luther King Day. But like, just everything he done for us, all like just the path he done paved.
Yeah.
Like, I'm completely indebted, you know, and in his honor. I'm glad that I still got, you know, I'm able to sit here and talk and be able to acknowledge, you know, what he's yeah, done for us. You
definitely.
Know? So it's good. You know, I love Black History Month. I love Martin Luther King Day. I feel like it's a great segue to Black History Month. You know, just to say, like, look where we came from.
Yeah.
Look how far we've come.
Come a long way. You
know? Yeah.
What do you guys feel about how he actually died? Do you guys know the story behind that? About how he actually died.
What you mean?
Okay, so from what do you guys know, how did Martin Luther King die?
That he was assassinated.
Okay, so he was shot, right?
Right.
Now, from what I know is that, reading, he died in the hospital. They smothered him. They killed him. Yeah.
So he was alive after he was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came in and smothered him.
Mm-hmm. In the hospitals. Mm-hmm. So I believe that.
Did you know that his mother was gunned down?
No, I did not.
Yeah,
I just read about that. I read about that like a couple days ago. His mother was gunned down at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. I've actually got to go to that church and see that church. Mm-hmm. You know, but his mother was shot in the front row while she was doing like a processional on the hymn or whatever, playing the piano. It was initially meant to kill. They were trying to kill his father. His mother was the closest person to the guy that killed her. And so he said he was here to wipe out blacks, you know, because blacks were like the scum of the earth. And, you know, and so, yeah, I just learned that his mother was assassinated. And it's like, that's crazy.
I've seen the story on that, too.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. But that's crazy that I'm not surprised that they did that. You know, that it's like they didn't want him to. Because if he would have been able to survive that, because, you know, did you know he survived another attack some mm-mm. years before that? So I did my little research yeah. when it read. So supposedly it was a lady that came up and stabbed him. This was like, I think it was like 19 something. I can't remember which year, but stabbed him. And it was like a couple inches away from his aorta vein mm-hmm. or whatever, or his artery. Mm-hmm. And he survived that, you know, but... Yeah, bro, he had fought through a lot of adversity, you know? That's crazy.
And he was
still preaching nonviolence.
Yep, and they tried to take him out. I feel like even 2020, they're still doing that to us, taking us out.
Mm-hmm.
Different ways, though.
Yeah.
You know, like I think I just said in the song, I was like, these cops killings, it's just modern-day lynchings.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
These cops killing us, is it, that's all it is. Yeah, they used to hang us on TV. Now they shoot us on TV.
In broad daylight.
In front of our people, you know?
Damn, that's crazy. You said they used to hang us on TV. Now they shoot. That's wild. Yeah. I never thought about it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're 100% right. I don't know. It's cold world for us.
Yeah.
Cold world for us.
Freezing below, man. For real.
All right. I think we'll wrap it up. I just want to say thank you guys so much again for coming out.
Thank you.
Before we dip out of here, though, go ahead and let the listeners know where they can follow you at.
Saeed for Music, SAEED, the number 4 Music. That's on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And you can go type in $AEED on YouTube, and I got all my music. And then just type in Saeed or that's on YouTube, and then type in Saeed on Apple Music and all the rest of them.
What about you? Where can we follow you at?
You can follow me on IG at I'm Justin Time. IMJSTNTYME. Justin Time, and you get my link tree is in my bio.
Really quick, though, before I go, I'll see you guys with these live sweaters. What's up with these? Tell me about these before we go.
Live from Paradise. Brand I created. It actually got official in 2015. It was actually, it's a crazy story behind it. But I created it. Stands for Living in Visions Enlightened from Paradise.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
So basically, change your reality, create your own paradise. No matter where you at in the world, create your paradise. So you could be right here in LA, you could be in Massachusetts, you could be in Spain.
I love that.
So it's just a universal brand. You know, it's been in, 12 countries now. I don't have people in 12 countries in almost like 40-some states, you know. So we're just pushing it. It's all about positive vibes and good energy.
Where can we get that? Is it like online or where we can get it?
You can go to livefromparadisellc.com. So LIVE from Paradise LLC.com.
All right.
It's all on there.
Make sure you guys go check that out. I'm going to have to get one of those.
Follow us on Instagram, Live from Paradise.
All right, for sure. Thank you guys so much. And we out.
Wow.
Deuces.
Started hitting agendas. Looked you dead in your eyes and recognized the difference. Damn. It was just a matter of time until I reached my limits. Yeah, it was a matter of time until I reached my limits. Gone. How you selfish to people that you would claim to love? Instead of quality time, you entertain the club. Use your favorite emojis.